We are in 1 Corinthians, of course. We are talking about the spiritual gifts, it says here on our opening slide. Number 4, the thing that's unique today is you will not hear spiritual gifts mentioned once in the scriptures that we're looking at today. So very interesting. Little digression in the middle of chapter 12, which is the chapter introducing spiritual gifts. So that's what we're talking about. This is my outline of 1 Corinthians so far that we've been going through. We're talking about spiritual gifts. 12 through 14 is all about spiritual gifts, these chapters. But chapter 12 starts, it introduces the topic, then Paul goes on a long, it seems like a digression, but it is about spiritual gifts. Okay, so that's how we're going to be thinking about it. Now, here's the 1 Corinthians 12 so far. So we've had the context, the mystery religions of the ancient world, there was things resembling tongues or ecstatic experiences that confused the Corinthians. The issue, some Corinthians in Corinth equated tongue speaking as the mark of true spirituality, skewing their focus from serving others to exalting self. At that point, we covered that before, but I want to reemphasize that. This is a big deal about the spiritual gifts. It remains a big deal in the teaching about spiritual gifts today, that somehow in order to have to show your spirituality, either you have to have one gift, that is tongues, or you have to have some sensational gift of some kind. I think it's unscriptural in many ways. But the biggest problem with it is related to this attitude that those who were truly spiritual were those who were speaking in tongues. Yes, Christy.
Something wrong with you if you don't exhibit that. So there's more pressure, especially as a very young person.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I, that's right. So there's pressure on those who have not spoken in tongues to speak in tongues just to get the badge. You know, it's like you're going to scouts, you get all the badges. Well, you have to get that badge or else you're not in. Lee.
I remember someone from that train of thought said,
fake it till you make it. It's like, and this is, it's such a skewed way of thinking. So what we're trying to do is see what the Bible says about this. So biblical gifts comprise a variety of gifts, equal in value, coming from the triune God. So any gift, even the least of the gifts, is as valuable as the greatest of the gifts. They're given for the benefit of the church as a whole. And last week we talked about We sort of paused and did a chart, differing in nature according to the times. So I classify them, the gifts, this way. There are at-will miracle supernatural gifts that were active in apostolic times. Okay? And then day-to-day ordinary gifts in all times and all places. And so if you missed that, I can print out a chart for you. You can see what we're talking about. That is good information. I think it's important to have. But today we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 12. The study is the importance of the body in understanding the gifts. So it's really a long extended metaphor. This was the scripture reading that we went through this morning in our morning service. And so the first part is verses 12 and 13. We're going to talk about the unity of the body. That's the header. I'll read the verses, and then we have a few questions. We can talk about it. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So you see the word one is mentioned several times in these verses. And the word body is also mentioned several times. It occurs three times in verse 12. What does Paul mean by body in verse 12? Well, look carefully what he's talking about, verse 12. Christy?
The physical body.
The physical body, a human body. So this is a metaphor, all right? He says, even as the body is one, so it's a unit, and yet has many members, many parts, And all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. Then he makes the comparison. So also is Christ. So he's talking about a physical body in this verse as an illustration of the spiritual body. Oh, I've already answered the question. What comparison does Paul make in verse 12? The body is Christ. Okay? He's making a comparison to the body of Christ. Okay, so what do we mean? This isn't in the notes. But what do we mean, before we go on to the next question, what do we mean when we talk about the body of Christ? Marilyn?
Is it the local church rather than the entire church worldwide?
Okay, so you've got both possibilities. The local church or the church worldwide. What do the rest of you think as we read this text?
It sounds like the local church.
You think local?
I think the church worldwide.
You think the church worldwide. Oh man, we're going to have a theological controversy right here.
Christians?
Yeah, the Christians, yeah. So I think that it really is spoken of generally here. I think the whole body of believers in the whole world is mainly what is taught. Now, he is writing to a local body. So the emphasis is on this local body. So I think we can take it both ways. But anyway, it is important for us to understand that this is not... I would say it's not those who are physical members of a specific local church in that sense, because there's always a possibility that some people in the church are not converted, even though... In our system, the way we try to govern our church and church membership is to try to make sure that everyone who joins is truly born again. That's one of the things that Baptists really try to, at least if you're following the Bible, not all Baptists, I guess, but are trying to make sure that the people who are members are born again Christians, okay? Real believers. So, but when we talk about the body of Christ universal, that means the set of people who are indeed born again. Nobody else, even if they claim they're Christians. Okay? All right. So, verse 13 emphasizes the Spirit making one body out of diverse individuals. So what categories does he mention here? Jews and Greeks. Okay, so what's that? What category is that? And the free and the slaves, those are two different, but what is he saying in terms of, he says we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. So, Cal?
Would that be the Gentiles?
Yes, Gentiles, yeah. Gentiles or Jews, okay? But what's he saying? What's the category?
Well, universal salvation?
No, that's not quite it. Lee? Encompasses everyone. That is what we want to say. That's the conclusion. But we're talking about a category. Right? Okay, Debbie says nations. Okay, I'll give you my answer. Ethnic or racial. Right? Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter who your daddy was. Right? Right? Doesn't matter. You know, and praise the Lord in our church. Praise the Lord. We have people from everywhere. What a blessing. Okay, so, he's saying, look, there's no distinctions here. And then what about bond or slaves are free? King James says bond or free. All right. So what is that distinction? What category does that fall under?
Social status.
Okay, there you go. Okay, the brainiac in the back row. Okay. Okay. All right. Social or economic status. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. The slaves were as poor as you could get in the Roman Empire. Okay. You are. Like you don't even own yourself, like if you're a slave. So there, now of course we don't, praise the Lord, don't have that in our culture, but it doesn't matter where you come, it doesn't matter, if the Lord blesses you with wealth, that's fine, you can be a Christian too. You get to be, right? He says, not many mighty and not many noble are called in the early part of 1 Corinthians, that's true, but they can be called. And those who are, so what he's emphasizing then is the unity of the body. Now, who is active in placing members in Christ's body? The Holy Spirit. All right. And how does this make the church different from other human social organizations? Its common ground is what?
God does the building, I will build my church.
That's right. God does the building. All right, that's right. And somebody said the word that I wanted.
Right.
Spiritual, not
earthly.
Earthly. Social is what I put. All right, so think about organizations on the earth. So you have things like at the very elite colleges are they think of themselves as a cut above just by letting you in. But then within them, there are these fraternities and sororities. And it's a big deal. What do they call it at Yale? I think there's not a very nice name. Skull and Bones Society, right? In Yale.
Ivy League.
The Ivy League is a whole bunch of colleges. The Skull and Bones Society is a fraternity at Yale. And somebody will come and tap somebody on their shoulder. If you get the tap, you are the cream de la cream. Right? Okay, so what are human societies? What do they base their organization around? Well, wealth, status. You know, sometimes ethnic reasons. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an ethnic hall and a group like that, but it's based on circumstances that are unalterable and nobody else can get in if they're not qualified. But what about the church? Anybody can come in. Anybody. It's a spiritual organization. It doesn't depend on anything. Right? So anybody can come in. So that's the difference. So he's wanting to make a big point here. Remember that point that I was emphasizing there at the beginning, that the Corinthians equated tongue speaking as the mark of true spirituality. We're the Christians who are a little bit better. See, that is the Achilles heel, I think, of the charismatic movement. It creates a special class of Christians who are better than the rest. Okay, because they're closer to God. Right? So that, and they can show you, because I can speak in tongues. Right? Or I can, you know, whatever. Okay. All right, so now we're going to talk about differences in the body, verses 14 to 17. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? All right, so I call this is an extended metaphor. So he sets it up here and he keeps on going. Like the rest of this section is all about, he's taking the human body, he's taking characteristics of the human body, and he's talking about the spiritual body. Okay, what the spiritual body is like. So some of this is probably sort of obvious. The previous verses emphasize unity. This metaphor here, what is he emphasizing here? Individual parts or differences? Okay? Not everyone is the same. Now, anyone can come in, but not everyone is the same in the church. What effect do differences in functions have on membership in the body? Verses 15 and 16. Okay? What effect do differences in function have on membership of the body? All right, so he says, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Is that a rational statement? No. So what effect do those differences have on membership in the body?
Yeah,
no one can be an island, yeah.
We need one another.
So there is no difference. The answer is none. Okay? Each function is needed for a whole body. You know, if you were to lose a limb, all of a sudden everything would be, your world would change. I heard of a fellow who in the First World War who has suffered an injury to his right arm. his hand was perpetually, like it's basically his hand, his arm became withered. He could not use his hand. His hand was perpetually in a grip like this. He couldn't move it, just, and it was useless. He had to learn how to write left-handed, had to learn to do everything left-handed. Okay, so, you try a body, so is there any, you know, you say, well, he's not, well, even then, the withered hand is still a member of the body, right? Even though it's lost its function. But they all need, the body needs every one of the other members. What would happen if every member had the same function? Verse 17. Yes, Cal. You'd be lacking in other areas. It essentially would destroy the body. Lee.
If Paul's breaking this down, is there people like discontent with their gifts or something? Like, is he tackling some problem here?
No, I think he's trying to make the point that we can't lord it over one another if we have a different point of view or different gift within the church.
Okay.
You know, like it's, you know, some people, you know, okay, let's put it this way. There are a few people in the church, and you can tell, who have been given the gift to, they can speak. They can teach the Bible. Now, not everyone could do it. And some of you, if I were to ask you, that would freak you out. Right? There's only a few people who are going to do it. Okay, so it's because God gifts some and he doesn't gift others. Now maybe some of you, I might ask you, because I haven't figured that out yet. Right? Okay. But so speaking is a very prominent gift, isn't it? You know, not everybody does it. And, you know, everybody knows the guy that's doing it. But then there's those people that I, you know, people who are working behind the scenes, cleaning the tables, doing the dishes, doing, you know, like who notices them? My wife puts up that list for, do you still do that? Well, the list is there for volunteers. Now it'll get filled. Okay, but, oh, it does? Okay. But people sign up and do the, like, I never, like, I don't know who's doing that. Do you think it's a good idea that we have people who can do that? Or willing to do that? I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And it's God working amongst us. All right. Okay. All right. So the next section, I'm going to move on to the next verses. Verses 18 to 20 to start with. But, and this is the placements in the body, 18 to 20. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. So this reiterates a bit of what we've just said. So he's sort of hammering it home over and over again when you read this section. He reiterates the points from the previous section, but brings up one key point in verse 18. What is that point in verse 18?
His placement.
Pardon me?
It's where he places you.
It's where he places you because he what?
He desires
it. This is God's will. God places the members in the body according to his will. So it is God working in us. It is not us seeking a place. I think there is perhaps an unhealthy desire for prominence amongst all of us. You know, we want to be somebody. And so, if there is a sensational gift which will make me look like somebody if I have it, then that can skew our thinking about the body and about our spiritual life, about how we're to live, and how important we are. But it is according to his will. And then, what body is Paul talking about, even though he keeps using the language of the human, of the physical human body? Well, I guess you know what that is, but what is that?
Body of Christ.
The body of Christ, the church, okay? And verse 20. Complete my sentence here. It takes many members to make one body. It takes many members to make one body. All right. All right. Now, are there any questions or comments that you'd like to make? I'm sort of feel like I'm rushing here. Cal.
Well, it does seem like the parallel here is in Ephesians 4.
Yes.
Where he has the teachers, the pastors, evangelists, those of service.
Yeah.
Et cetera, so.
Right. And the purpose is to build up the body, to minister to one another. Yes. Yeah, that is a very strong parallel passage. And so it has to temper everything that we teach here. All right, so now we'll read this next section. This is 21 to 26. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. All right, so he keeps pushing the metaphor. There is a theme, I think, that we need to be picking up here, but we'll come to that as we come to the end of the section. Alright, so question number one. What should members of the body realize about other members of the body? Verses 21 to 22. The other members are what? I got several voices at once. Somebody?
Necessary.
Okay, very good. Necessary. They're needful. Okay, like, important. I think I caught that. Yes. Okay, they're all, we have to realize that we function together. Okay. Lee, are you starting to ask them?
I was just going to say, like, they are essential. Like, you could be missing a part of the body, but you will be lacking in some way.
Yes, you will. That's right. And you know what's interesting is we keep the metaphor here with our own local body. Now, we're praising the Lord. So many visitors, we've had an increase of attendance. And it's funny. We were, I think a couple Sundays ago, some of you were away for whatever reason. And it was down to 68. It felt like it was empty. You see? Okay, in years past, if we had 68, we'd be going, yeah! Okay, but here's the thing, but when you are gone, you're missed. You see? I mean, you become by being a part, you become a essential. Right? Okay. All right. Okay, so now, by less honorable and less presentable parts of the body, Paul means those private parts that we cover up or decorate. When dealing with our human bodies, we bestow more honor on our less honorable parts by covering them up. What then would be our more presentable members of the body? My question is kind of awkward. What then would our more presentable members be? So what do you think about? What is he talking about there? In terms of a human body, what are the more presentable members?
Pastors.
Pardon me?
Pastors and teachers.
No, human body.
Hands.
Okay.
Generally, those parts that we could see.
The parts you can see. That's right. The parts you can see.
But then as you get older, some of us ladies like to...
That's right. Yeah, some people even want to dress that up, right? Okay, yes.
Could it also be talking about the internal organs that are covered over by...
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. They're necessary. And they are covered. Okay, but we bestow upon them honor. What he's saying is that the clothing of the less presentable parts is an honoring. It's a setting them aside. They are not for public display. And he says that's the... Now, so by doing that, by decorating them, what is he saying that we are doing to them? So the next question, to make a spiritual application from the illustration, what does God do for the members that lack honor? Now, we're talking here about the spiritual body, the church. What does God do for the spiritual body of the church, those members who lack honor, those who aren't the face of the church? I'm the face of this church, basically. A few of you others that are leaders. People, oh yeah, they would associate you. But if anybody were to, you know anything about our church, I'm the guy that they see first. They go to the website, here's the guy, he's the pastor, right? So what about the rest of you? What does the Bible say here that God is doing for you? Giving more honor. Giving more honor. And woe betide the pastor who forgets that. Okay? It's all God's placing. It's not because we're special. It's God's gifts does this. All right. What are God's purposes for making diversity? Oh, this I haven't read these verses yet. Okay, let's put them on the screen. He says, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. All right, so what are God's purposes for making diversity among the members of the body? Verse 25 and verse 26. So in verse 25, what's the purpose?
To care for one another.
Care for one another? I'm sorry? The common good? Okay, Christy?
No division.
No division. Okay, all of those things are true. No division is the one I had in my blank, but everything you said was correct. All right, and then verse 26. What is the purpose in verse 26?
Supposed to be
unity. Unity, but especially...
All members rejoice?
No.
Unity and
empathy. Okay, Debbie says empathy. Okay, that's getting to where I was going with this. I put sympathetic care. When somebody's suffering, it can be many ways. You could be suffering spiritually. You could have physical needs. You could have illness. You could have, some kind of family devastation of some kind. And we feel it. We want to help if we can. Right? We lift each other up. All right, so I sort of was afraid of this. You know, when I did these this particular lessons in 1998, I had two sermons out of this passage. And I was going through my notes, and I was working through this and making this, and I thought, oh, I wonder if it's going to be enough. I didn't want to go on to the end of the chapter because that's a whole nother involved discussion of the gifts again. But we're talking here about this body thing. So let's talk about... I have an application question at the end, and let's talk about that and about what this body metaphor is supposed to mean in the topic of spiritual gifts. So here's the question. When charismatics emphasize that all must speak in tongues to be spirit-filled, what are they missing?
Truth.
Truth. Atola. They're missing the uniqueness and the diversity of the body. And they're hobbling themselves. Like if that is becomes the sole emphasis, the church, it's like a church that's hopping around on one leg. And like it doesn't quite work. Doesn't matter how many people you get in there, it's not quite right. Lola.
Yeah, they're also shortchanging themselves.
Yes.
Because you have the opportunity to enjoy so many gifts and make vibrant,
yes.
Vibrant body, and
yes.
Restricting yourself to
that's right. They're shortchanging themselves. All right, Gordon.
I love how deep verse 26 gets.
Yeah.
Because you know, in your own body, if you've been hurt,
yeah,
your whole body can just be sick.
Yeah.
Right. And the rejoicing, like, you know, a back rub makes your whole body feel like scratching
yeah.
your head or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It's so.
Yeah.
If you take it literally and just think of the human body.
Yes.
And then realize that's what God wants.
That's right.
For the church.
That's what God wants for the church. Yeah. All right. Hey, Rob.
Yeah,
I can't see way over in that corner there.
Well, and to what Gordon was saying, it struck me that last week you mentioned a church I've been involved in before. It was sort of introducing the charismatic gifts. And it was at the emphasis of a particular elder that he felt... that he had the gift of discernment, whatever that means.
Yes.
Right? So, in other words, what happens is you have this disunity if you don't have the gifts correct in your mind, because he can say to somebody, well, God told me this about you.
Yeah.
And if you reject it, you're rejecting God
yeah.
in his mind,
yeah.
or perhaps even the pastor's mind, like yeah. depending how far it's gone. So there's a real danger to
yes.
the misuse of charismatic gifts. Yeah.
Absolutely. There certainly is. All right. Let's see. Addie first.
I saw one of the way verse 23 quote said that when people do this, like focusing on a particular gift, then you're honoring that particular gift
yes.
and giving less importance to some of the ones.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So you're putting one gift first, then all the others become second rate. You're not quite the best. All right, I think Tola's next.
What I gain now is those that speak in tongues,
yeah.
they are not special or important than the people that do speak in tongues.
That's right.
In the church.
Yeah. Yeah, they're no more important than another. Now, we are going to define the speaking in tongues. There was a message, so I'm going through my old notes. I had one that defines speaking in tongues, and I thought, I think I'm going to hold, I had it first before I did this section on the body, but I thought, I'm going to hold off on this because I want to get through to these next sections, because I think this body metaphor is so important. I believe, by the way, this is, in many ways, this section drives the way I look at church ministry. Like, we think of the church as a body, as a we're all, you know, we use the word, or a family in a sense. We try to create that atmosphere because, you know, we're not a corporation. We don't have a CEO. We don't have a board of directors. We don't have a union. You know, we're not organized that way at all. I think sometimes churches sort of lose that sense of unity because they structure themselves on a sort of on a worldly basis. Now, as a church grows, there are things you do have to be somewhat organized and put things into place, but you have to really guard against developing a spirit where the people don't feel like they're part of one another. The church we came from in South Carolina at the time, we knew a lot of people in that church. Now, we didn't know everyone. It was 2,500 on a Sunday morning. Okay, so a lot of people. But we knew, you know, a significant portion of them. The church worked at trying to have activities in various groupings to try to keep people united. But even there, you know, as you start growing in the church, you have to really work extra hard to know each other, to be involved with one another. It's inevitable that you're going to have some people who are better friends with you than others, but we work hard at trying to develop that. Okay? All right. Any other comments as we finish up? Igor.
I just want to share why I like this passage of Scripture. Chapter 12 is Paul in simple words explaining why it is important, the whole body, not just one member
yeah.
of the body.
Yeah.
And when some people say everyone should speak in tongues,
yeah.
they're basically saying the whole body is a tongue.
Yeah.
Where Paul says in verse 14,
yes.
for the body is not one member, but many.
That's right.
And he's trying to explain that if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Basically, they're saying, you're not of the body because you don't speak tongues.
That's right.
They're trying to divide this, but this is
that's right.
absurd.
That's exactly right. And that is the point. That's why he goes into this long metaphor here about the body. It makes, it's, we're not, we don't set one up above the other. We're not all going to occupy the same place or the same gift, and that's the way God designed it. And we really need to try to keep and build, keep that feel in the whole assembly that we are part of one another. All right, let's see, Augustine.
Yeah, I think one can actually look at it because I've actually seen, say, an aged man that had a weak lung was crying.
Yeah.
That's to tell you how important this little nail is.
Yes. Yes. You know? Yeah.
Once you wait until you have an ailment in any part of the body,
yeah.
then you actually know
yes.
that part is extremely important.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. So any little injury, and that's the thing, is why there's that sympathy as well. So we bear one another's burdens, we pray for one another. We try to hold one another up. That is, it is a vital background to this teaching of the tongues. The Corinthian church, they were really good at dividing with each other. We have the first few chapters, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, right? Okay, so they do that. And then there's chapter 6, some of you are actually going to court with one another. Like, can't you even settle your own problems? Right? Can't you, you know, is there nobody in your church that can adjudicate between you and help you settle this? So this church had a lot of problems. Now, praise the Lord, they didn't burn Paul's letter. So it's a pretty tough one. Now, how would you like to be? I wonder if this was instead of Corinthians, this is Gracians, okay? Grace Baptist Church. Paul's writing to us, saying all, and these were true of us. How would you like to be in that church? All right. Addie.
Okay. So you probably took a peek into my next question.
Okay.
Yeah. So thinking back of how we started these teachings and how, you know, they started from I'm Paul, you know, you got this gift, I've got that gift, and then coming down to the body of Christ, how we're diverse in the body of Christ. Do you think all of these are just emphasis on what he's trying to teach the church?
Yes.
Like, and I'm just wondering, okay, so where does this stop?
What do you mean by that?
Like, are we going to continue with all of this? Or is he trying to, let me put it this way. Is he trying to just make them see the different parts of the division? Or is he trying to emphasize the need to come together?
Yes, he's emphasizing the need to come together. So he wants them to repent. And part of the things is they need to understand what, first of all, the body, so this division over these gifts is wrong. I think that's chapter 12. Then chapter 13 is the love chapter, but this he's saying this is more important. Okay, love is more important. So that is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit in Galatians is love, joy, peace. So that's more important than what gift you have. And then he has to make in chapter 14 there is a long technical comparison between tongues and prophecy. Which is better? Not which is better, which is more important for the ministry of the church, and how to regulate both of them. Okay, so he's laying down some rules. And so so he wants to correct their behavior. Correct their attitudes, correct their behavior. Okay, so that's where he's going with this. All right. Okay, Lee, did you have your...
Yeah, I was just going to say, going through all these, if they have a problem with it, like you are questioning God's assignment and his wisdom in that assignment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, and I think Debbie had her hand up, Rob. So
sure.
We have time, so I'll get you in, I think. And depends how long Debbie talks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Don't let her up on the front.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just an interesting point that we have, I don't know how it fits. He uses the term all through here, members.
Yes.
Any
significance? Oh, she's getting on her hobby horse. She's getting on her hobby horse.
Love you all, whether you're members or not.
Yes, yes. All right, so she's stealing. She's getting us off topic. That's what she's doing.
Okay.
Okay, good. That's good. Okay, so she's, but she is zealously trying to get those of you who are not yet members to become members. All right, now Rob is next, so go ahead.
Well, this is a total rabbit trail, but it was partly just an interesting thought I had about that book I'm reading I texted you about yesterday. Poor Paul, he thinks he's got these people taught right, and he's constantly, I'm thinking of Galatians too, he constantly has to write letters back to him.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I was just there, I told you this, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You think about the length of time too, I was thinking of the canon of scripture, and like if Paul was converted in 31 AD, and John died, really, for example, in 95 AD, you've got 65 years of teaching, and 65 years of the apostles, things to go wrong too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's so, right. And there were challenges right from the beginning. Yeah.
Yes, it's a long time.
Yes, okay. I think Christy's next, Lee.
I was just thinking how, in the physical body, there are people who can have arrogance because they're beautiful or they're athletic or whatever.
Yes.
And it's as if they had something to do with that.
Yes.
It's the same in the church, right? It's when we have the right attitude, it fosters humility.
Right.
We.
Yeah.
It's given to us.
Yeah. That's right. So it's a gift, and it is to be used. All right, Lee, and then we'll wrap up with that.
It seems like they had embraced Paul's teaching, but they had misapplied.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They misapplied. They took it and went the wrong direction with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll close up for today. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today. We pray for your blessing on our meeting together. We pray that you bless our understanding. Pray that you'll help us when we don't communicate as well as we could. Lord, I pray that especially that you would foster amongst us that body unity that you describe in this chapter. May we be servants of one another, regardless of our gift, regardless of our abilities, but just to be praying for one another, to lift one another up, to pray for needs, and to work with you to build your church in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.